Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And welcome into the Thursday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start of their day here today. Joe Rex Road, howdy. Hello. Good morning. How are you?
Doing pretty well. I got to say, my Golden State Warriors might be a problem this year. I just want to warn people. I know it's November 7th, but my Golden State Warriors might be a little bit of a problem, so I'll be ready.
How many different jerseys do they have? I was watching the game last night, and I was like, all right, we got another throwback. A lot of jerseys they got.
Yeah, I don't like these at all. I don't. This doesn't say Golden State Warriors at all, so I'd like them to get rid of that. That's a good point. You know, if I'm going to be complaining about uniforms, I should be consistent with that. They have too many. That's my answer. They have too many. Some of the alternative uniforms, at least they have like gold in them, you know, like they look like they would be Golden State Warriors jerseys. But I like the blue, man, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
The classic blue.
Do they have
gold.
A dark mode jersey?
I haven't seen it. Maybe they'll, you know, break it out on Christmas or something. I don't know. I have not seen one. Everyone should.
Special. Yeah. Yeah. Why would you not? Why would you not? Right. Nick Keezer, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good morning, fellas. Good night last night with the Preds Radio Network crew. It was a full house in here with Robbie Stanley included. And it's one of those nights where I wish I had a little bit of more valuable sleep. But, you know, we're here, we're thriving, we have some coffee, we're doing well.
Yes, yes indeed. Full house last night with the Radio Network crew. And not a good result, once again, for the Nashville Predators. They lose 3-2 to the Washington Capitals. They're back at it tonight, taking on the Florida Panthers. And Joe, like from a process standpoint, from a way they played standpoint, I think you feel much better about last night than you did on Monday. They generated some looks. 5-on-5, they got a lot of chances. They hit like 4 legitimately crossbar/post again. So that continues to be a thing for them. But ultimately, when you're at this point in their season and you're struggling to win as much as they are, really the only thing that matters at the end is the result. And it's another negative result for the Predators. And now they've dropped to 4-8-1 on the season. So yay for you. You're 4-8-1, and you've got the reigning Stanley Cup champions who've been sitting around waiting on you tonight in Florida. Not a great time right now for the Nashville Predators. There were things that were better last night. I thought Stamkos probably had his best game, and he played with Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg, so a brand new line there that seemed to have some pop kind of right to it. So we'll see if that continues. Also, Joe, Tommy Novak goes down before the game. Now, he got smacked at the end of Monday night's game, kind of collided with Colton Sissons. And I don't know if it's a leftover injury from that, and he was trying to give it a go in warmups and then couldn't do it, or if something happened in warmups. But he was a late scratch last night. Luke Evangelista was going to be scratched, and then he had to play. He factors in on the first goal on a line with Juuso Parsonen and Philip Tomasino. And then in the middle of the game, Colton Sissons takes a shot off the hand, and he leaves the game, and he did not return. So I would imagine at least one, if not both, of those guys will probably not be available, and I'm interested to see what the Predators do. But all in all, Joe, another loss for the Predators.
Yeah, Luke, you're a healthy scratch. Actually, Luke, no, we need you to play.
Right.
That's unfortunate for Novak for sure. You know, Parsonen, that first goal, you know, it's like – it's just, you know, with all the talk about this team, you know, no everybody's just shooting from the outside. No one's getting to the middle. No one's getting to the hard areas. Like that, you know, Parsons should be part of the answer, shouldn't he? And yes. You watch it play, it's like, man, they use that big body and just, you know, just be that guy. I mean, just do stuff like that. I know that he's an imperfect player, but it's like one of these things where if you play like that, and I know there was some ex there's some satisfaction, not satisfaction, but better feelings expressed afterward by the Preds. So, if you play like that, if you did that over time, you'd probably be in decent shape. You'd have a better record now if you had played like that. The problem is you don't have that record because you've dug yourself this hole. So it's harder to find, solace in the good performances and losses. And those crossbars and posts, to me, that's part of it too, isn't it? I mean, when you talk about gripping the stick too hard, I mean, I know it's bad luck, but also, like, isn't that part of the deal? Like when you're pressing, when you're struggling, those things happen more often, or at least it seems like they do.
I would agree with that. And, I tell people this all the time. We talk about, hitting the crossbar and hitting the post. That's still missing the net, right? Like, it's not a
Right.
shot on goal. It doesn't count as a shot on goal. Goalie didn't have to make a save. So, look, LaRue hit one last night. Forsberg hit one right from the slot. Josi hit one. And I think Parsonen hit two on the same play where he redirected another one in the second period. So I will say, four posts in one game is pretty impressive. Like, it's hard to do that.
Right.
And the Predators, it feels like they've done that a couple of times so far this year. So they did it again last night. You also had Forsberg have a redirection on a great kind of set play coming into the zone with about 8 seconds left in the game that I thought for sure was going to go in. They had a goal that they thought they scored, taken off the board last night for goaltender interference. And that was a weird play because Delgado like crashed the net and got absolutely smoked from behind there. You couldn't really see the puck on the replay. You didn't really know what happened to it. There were a couple people jamming at it as well. So when they went to replay, I was talking with Nick and I was like, I don't think that they're gonna overturn this, and they ultimately didn't. But I do think
I can
if
make a
you're,
case.
yeah, you can make a case. And like I think if you're Stamkos and you're a player on this team, I do think you look at the game last night and say, if you play that way most nights, you're probably going to win. And I would agree with that. Having said that, you still have a couple of huge defensive, just total breakdowns and the penalties. Like, you gotta stop going to the box. And I know their penalty kill has been outstanding, and it was again last night. But even if you're not getting scored on, that's less time in the game for you to generate offense when you're just having to kill penalties all the time. So they got to get that part of it figured out too.
Yeah, it's like again, it's. Well, I mean, it's what Barry Trotz said, right? He made the analogy of the, and when he's talking to Jared, you plug a hole and then something else pops up. It's what happens when you're losing. So, it's just, it's unfortunate that, that you have to have this, at the beginning of a back to back, right? Against one of the best teams in the league, it's like there's just, there's no break. But that's the thing. They need to win some games that maybe you wouldn't think they would win too. I mean, that's got to be part of the formula of kind of digging out of this too. So maybe if you like a lot of your game and you play the next day, maybe it's easier to have some carryover. I don't know. I'm grasping for straws at this point.
Well, I think a lot of people are grasping for straws at this point. I will say, like, I am very interested to see how Florida plays tonight. They were in Finland last week, so they had to go to Finland. They played two games against Dallas. They beat Dallas in both of those games, which, as you know, is a very difficult thing to do, but they did it. They pulled it off. They beat Dallas in both those games, and then they flew back from Finland. So they've not played since last Saturday, and you're kind of coming back. You hadn't played in a while. And you had the long travel from Finland to Sunrise, Florida. I don't know exactly what that's going to mean tonight for them. I mean, they have been, resting up since Saturday, so we'll see what it looks like. But, it's always interesting to see how these teams come out after they take these international trips. For some teams, they just keep going right along, and other teams, I mean, it really has an effect on them for a little while. So maybe if you're the Predators, particularly early in the game, maybe you could take advantage of that.
Yeah, it affected the Preds for like 3 months last year. So,
There's that.
but seriously, it did. I mean, I think there probably was some effect on them in the early going once they got back last year from Sweden.
I think that was
Switzerland?
2 years
Sweden.
ago.
That was
Two
2 years
years ago?
ago?
It was.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man.
Oh my gosh.
It's hard to believe.
That was a Heinz team?
It was a Heinz team, yeah.
Huh, okay. Well, never mind.
But I think your original point stands. Like, I think it
Yeah.
did have an effect on him for a while. So I'm interested to see how that goes tonight for the Preds. Look, I don't really care. I mean, I do, but if they get outshot like 55 to 17 tonight and they win the game, like if you're a Predators fan right now, I think you take it. Like you want them to look more like they did last night, but they just got to find a way to start getting wins, man. Like it's the points have to start to pile up. And look, it is kind of interesting from the standpoint, Joe. We've talked about this. They started 5-10 last year. So it's not that dissimilar of a start that they're in right now. 4-8-1. Let's say, they get to 15 games and they're like, I don't know, 5-9-1 or whatever it is at the end of it. Like it's not a dissimilar start to what we saw them do a year ago. The problem is they went on like an 18 game point streak last year. You're not going to do that every year. So, like, and this team should be better. I mean, there's no doubt this team should be better than the team they had a year ago. So, I don't really care what it looks like tonight if you're the Predators. Find a way to come out of there with some points. That's what the goal's got to be.
Yeah, I mean, you have to you wanna you don't want to sit there and again, it's like you can negatively affect yourself if you have this like, oh my God, we have to win or whatever. But you do have to, I guess, work like you did in this last game, and that has to be the absolute standard. Like that, you can't go back to some of these games where your normally mild-mannered coach is basically furious with what he's seen out there. That's got to be over. And I think, given the talent on this team, if it is over, then you're going to see results. I think so.
Jason Gillisville says he doesn't like Stamkos Forsberg because of two right-handed shots on the same line. Like, well, I understand like the thought, I guess, on that on the wing, but they looked very good together last night. So I would 100% come back with that. And quite frankly, I would probably go with that. I would go say, hey, regardless of what they look like, I'm giving them 5 games moving forward just to see what it is. That would be my approach if I'm Andrew Brunette.
Yeah, load it up, man. I mean, you already have, like, you have to figure out what, I mean, it may be with someone we don't know, the other line. Although, interesting discussion yesterday on who some of the possibilities are on DVD, but if you got something that works with those folks, yeah, I would go with that for a while.
Preds can't escape. Mikael Granlund, baby. It always comes back to Granlund.
Hey, why not?
Vin get threw that out
It's not
on
exciting. It's not exciting, but
Vin get threw that out to me on Preds Insiders the other day, and I just started laughing. I was like, you know what? That would make some sense. Just get him back in here. All they're missing is Mikael Granlund, and they'll be fine. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Preds lose again last night, although the process did look a little bit better. We'll take your thoughts on that. They're back at it tonight in Florida. More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
I thought the effort was there. I thought, we did a lot of good things. Still trying to build our game. It's not easy right now. Obviously, or nothing's really coming easy, but I like that we pushed. We were determined. We didn't get the result, but I think you leave the rink, you should feel pretty good about yourself.
That's Andrew Brunette after the game last night. Predators fall 3-2 to the Washington Capitals. And he also said, Joe, in the post-game press conference that kind of looked like us, which is like the second time all year that I could say that. So, for Andrew Brunette, a little bit happier after the game last night, certainly than he was on Monday after the LA game. So we'll see what that looks like. And I thought last Saturday when they beat Colorado, now albeit a Colorado team that was basically like, the walking wounded out there. There's a lot of injuries. Now they still had Makar, they had MacKinnon, they had Rantanen, so they had their three big guys, and the Predators took care of business and beat them. And it wasn't perfect in that game, but I thought, okay, it's a pretty good team. They've come in here, you've settled down at home, you got to the middle of the ice a little bit better in that game, maybe that's some progress. And then they come out and just had an absolute stinker against LA. Last night, I thought, again, was progress. Last night was one of the best games they've played. and you don't get the result from it. But the question is it an actual building block? Like, did you take a step last night, or are you just going to be sitting here, you know, fumbling all over yourselves for the next 2 or 3 weeks while you try to get it figured out? That would be my question. I think the most encouraging thing that I would say about last night's game, the Forsberg-O'Reilly-Stamkos line looked really good, and the underlying numbers tell you it was really good last night. They looked connected. Stamkos looked like he knew exactly what he was doing in the system, which has not been the case very often so far this year. So is he starting to take a step? If he is, can that line put together some chemistry with Stamkos, O'Reilly, and Forsberg? And if they can they become a dominant line? Can they become a dominant line that, quite frankly, right now, this team needs? Like, they need somebody or some group to get out there and just start to take over some games, because they hadn't had a whole lot of that this year. The first mute of the day for Rexro.
That's very disappointing. Yes, I mean, even just a player get hot, but of course, you know, a couple of the guys on that line would be your top two candidates for, if you could sign up for a heater for either of those guys for a couple of weeks, you know, that can carry you. If that line becomes a force, that's a big deal. And then again, you're looking at the second line and you're just sort of trying to figure it out, but that could be enough. I mean, that could be enough for this team to win games. They got to stack some wins together. You know, the whole yesterday, I don't know if I had a meltdown, but I sort of got upset. And this was talking to Stilly, you know, on his fraudulent win over me and Jerry versus Joe. We'll have the judge on later to interrogate her. But you know, talking about this whole thing with Trotz and everything, and like, the more I think about it, it's like there's the only thing that you can do once you've done what he has done is to keep adding, right? Like there's no, you know, bring up some young guys and whatever, you guys just go out there and suffer. Like, his job next to me is to address that center void. Is there any scenario, Robbie, where he would actually be like, you know what, screw it, I'm not gonna even worry about that. This is so bad that you guys can all just float on with all your contracts that we can't get out of? And like, that doesn't make any sense to me. I understand he's upset. I understand he sent a message publicly and he's upset, and I get that. But he really doesn't have any recourse other than continuing to try to add, right? And that's just not realistic.
Well, I mean, I don't know, like, I've thought about it this way. Like, if things don't get better, do you start trading a couple guys to jolt it? Like, and I'm not talking Stamkos. I'm not talking any of the guys under long-term contracts. But like, Colton Sissons has been here forever. He's got a very movable contract. Gus Nyquist is on an expiring contract that would generate interest around the league. If it doesn't get better at some point, do you trade one of those guys and jolt it that way? I mean, it's not an earth-shattering move, because you're right. Like, in terms of that move, like, he doesn't have that available to him. There's no earth-shattering move, I think, that he can make. But you can move one of those guys. Like, you can move a Lozon. You can move a Sissons. You can move a Nyquist for sure with his expiring contract. So that's kind of what I've thought about, of does he have that in his back pocket maybe to try to jolt them a little bit? But no, I mean, there's nothing with the contract situation they're in. There's not a ton he can do. There's no doubt about that.
And that's fine. But jolting it is not the rebuild plan. I guess I'm just hung up on the word maybe, but you know what I mean? I mean, that's not what it is. Like, you're still okay, then jolt it, and then fine, you got younger.
Well, I mean, if
you
you're
got
going,
younger, but you're still trying to win.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, look, he's always going to try to win, but like, the idea that he's going to, like, intentionally put a lineup out there to lose, like, he's not going to do that. He's not going to go into the tank. But, like, I mean, look, if they're in a similar spot a month from now, the math starts to become really difficult, right? Like, it starts to become really difficult to work your way back into it. So then that there is a scenario there where you move a guy or two, you bring up, you know, Svechkov. Like, one thing that was interesting that Alex Doherty put out there yesterday was that he basically told Trotz basically told him that Svechkov's going to be here whenever he's healthy. Like, their plan is to have him here. So, I mean, I didn't expect that. Like, I thought that was interesting. So, you know, is he going to be, you know, part of their plan here as they move forward? I don't know. I'm just saying, like, you can do it in a way where you're moving a couple of guys. You're bringing in some younger guys, playing them in higher roles. And it's not necessarily like trying to tank. You're still trying to win, but it just changes up the equation. Bottom line is, and I told Stillman this immediately when it happened. I think the number one thing that Barry Trotz did when he had those comments, he was trying to send a message to the locker room. Like, that's what he was trying to do. And we'll see how they respond to it. Because you're right, there's not a ton of actual recourse available to him.
And that's all fine, too. And that's interesting on Svechkov. By the way, I thought Trotz hated Russian players. But the thing is, changing the equation, to me, it's an absolute must. That also means you try to address your second line center, right?
Yeah.
So again, that's the opposite of, yeah, you can still bring up some young guys. You can change it up. You can work around the edges a little bit more. But then you have to. You can't. You have to try. After you've done all this, to me, you can't hit the brakes like that. You have to keep trying to add, in my opinion.
Well, I would agree, unless you think that, you know, I guess Svechkov is your second line center. That seems like a ton to ask for a kid at this point. So, I said it before the year. They got to go get a center. Like, you know, the way that things have gone so far, I think have done nothing but highlight that. Now, and the question, who is it, right? Like, at this point of the year, that's kind of hard to see because nobody's really that far out of it yet. And, you know, the trades just normally don't happen at this point of the year. So whether it's a Granlund, which I could see that being a possibility, or like a Brock Nelson in New York, because the Islanders are off to a rough start. Like, you know, he's on an expiring deal. Like, there's going to be players that come available at some point. And the other part of this is the cap space. Like, you don't have a ton of that. Like, there's not a ton of maneuverability that you've got right now. And you know, you can sit here and wait on the Johansson stuff going on, but there's no guarantee that that's going to be resolved at any time soon. And when it is resolved, there's no guarantee that it's really going to help you at all. So there's a lot that kind of factors into this that's going to make it pretty interesting to see what the Predators do at that point.
Yeah, I mean, the easy answer here is, you know, they have to win. They have to win some games. It becomes this, you know, you get into this situation where, I mean, you're kind of just locked in, and that's the point, you know? And so it really, these guys have to figure it out on the ice, or it's going to get, the conversation is around here is going to get, boy, we're going to be competing. Who do we complain about more, Titans or Preds? I didn't think that would be any kind of competition this fall.
Yeah, really nice professional sports that we got going on around here right now. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Titans, we will get into the Titans coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The best and worst things in sports coming up at 645. Caroline Fenton will be with us at 7. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
You might have been 6 the last time this franchise won against the Chargers in Southern California.
You know, there's probably something to it if it's been that long, but it's hard to cross years and teams. And, you know, I think for a long time the Chargers, you know, Phillip Rivers, and they've had some pretty good football teams down there, had been in that division for a long time. They were tough to play against. But, yeah, it's hard to take much from that other than just the historical perspective. But maybe there's something to the travel out there and what that looks like. So, again, I don't know the specifics of it, but we'll keep our routine and we'll do it our way, and hopefully we'll find a way to win one that, you know, first time in a long time, apparently.
That's Brian Callahan yesterday. PK laying the groundwork there, Joe, of the disappointment that has been the trip out to the Chargers. Most of that when they were the San Diego Chargers, now the L.A. Chargers out there, although they did lose to L.A. on the road a few years ago, and what I believe was like a 17-14 final or something like that, with Justin Herbert making some big plays at the end. But it historically has not gone well for the Titans against the Chargers, really at home or on the road or in England.
So I guess this is one of those things PK would say is in their DNA, air Maybe quotes. So. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's random. It's just a weird thing. Probably speaks to, like Brian Callahan said, the Chargers have they've had some very good stretches in there, but you know, the Titans have had some ups and downs. Yeah, that game you're talking about, that was the game where it was Roger McCreary and who combined with him on that, one of the coolest picks ever. Was that Trey Avery?
I think it may have been our guy, Trey Avery.
Yeah.
But McCreary made the play. But, man, that was cool. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and it took Herbert making a ridiculous throw late. Or else it would have been another Vrabel special. In fact, I mean, shoot, that game right there wins them the division, you know?
Yeah.
2 years ago. 2 years ago wins them the division if they make one more play in that game. So now it's a little bit more of a difference between these teams. I mean, you know, the one thing you can count on with Jim Harbaugh, NFL or college, like he values physicality. He coaches it, he pushes it, he preaches it, he says weird stuff to get you to think about it. And you know, that's what they are. So I mean, this is can you stop the run and run the ball game for the Titans?
No doubt. We're going to see, Joe Alt in this game, who we spent months talking about around here. A lot of former Titans playing well right now for the Chargers, as you guys discussed yesterday on the Jared versus Joe. Christian Fulton coming up with some picks. Elijah Molden making some plays for the Chargers. I mean, look, man, Jim Harbaugh, he's getting them going a little bit out there. I'm interested to see what happens on that front, and if the Titans can avoid like the Christian Fulton death pick in this game, who, by the way, Christian Fulton is on the injury report with a hamstring injury. So there's a shocker. Didn't see that happen very often here in Nashville. So some things have not changed on that front, but I'm just saying they do have some former Titans that at times have played halfway decent football for them so far this year out there in LA.
Yes, this was definitely a topic yesterday. And, yeah, the problem is, of course, for Jared, and look, I think some of you listeners may feel the exact same way. It's like this, you know, like why do players, you know, stink here, or they're hurt here, they go somewhere else and they're way better. You should be frustrated by it. My whole point yesterday was there are different situations with that, right? Like Derrick Henry was good here too, I think. I think he was pretty good. You know, he's in a better situation. He's even better because of the better situation. So, you know, and Hopkins, like, that's just, no one should be surprised by those guys doing well. Yeah, you know, Molden. I mean, Molden is, we talked about it at the time. That was, he was a depth guy, you know. He was a depth guy and a versatile depth guy. And, of course, they acquired players over him. Now, remember, at the time, there was talk that he, in fact, I think Rand may have said this. If Rand didn't say this to somebody on the record, it was someone reported this reported this anonymously, but that he asked for a trade, which I get if you're Elijah Molden, right? Because you're like, well, thanks for playing, but we just brought in Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs, and you know, you're on the bench. I mean, he's a solid player, and good for him, but I don't know that I'd get outraged about that one necessarily. You know, the Malik Willis one is the one where you're. I get it. I think over time, and maybe you think differently as a Packers fan, Robbie, but I think over time he'd probably look pretty similar to what we saw here, but that he and they have done an amazing job with that. And that just adds to the frustration overall of the Titans fan. Again, I get it.
By the way, Josh Kalu, apparently the one that came up with that interception with Roger McCreary tipping it from out of bounds in the end zone. So Josh Kalu, how could we forget that? Man, what a guy.
Thank you, Trevor and Brad.
Yeah, appreciate that. I got one text that says, I hate the Chargers even more now since they stole Joey Alt. Imagine how this season would be different if they got a legitimate Pro Bowl caliber rookie right tackle. So sad what could have been. Problem is, he would have played left tackle.
Yeah, exactly.
And you would still have a right tackle issue. So yeah,
he'd be doing what J.C. Latham is doing, and the other side would be the same. And I don't – you tell me. I don't know if you know, Robbie. Right now, by the glorious PFF rankings, who's having a better season, Joe Alt or J.C. Latham?
I have no idea, but my guess is Latham.
Yeah, I mean, either way, obviously that was what the guy everybody talked about, the Chargers, all the smoke about the Chargers was actually real. Harbaugh apparently like actually says what he's really going to do before a draft. So good for him, I guess. And that's right now, I would not be upset about that if I'm a Titans fan. I'd be upset about a lot of other things, but not that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't add that one to the list. There's too much else to be upset about right now that I think we can let that one go for a little while. And by the way, Latham, I think is going to be good. I think Latham, when you start talking about early, bright spots for this team, there's not a ton to look at in terms of, young guys, young players that you feel like you can build on moving forward. He would be one of them. Like, I feel pretty good about J.C. Latham being a good player. Now, again, we said it at the time. Certainly, Joel's a little bit different because like the Titans didn't really have a chance to draft him, right? I mean, he was gone by the time their pick came around. So
exactly.
I mean, everybody talks about like the Joel J.C. Latham comparison. That one to me doesn't really matter because the Titans didn't have a chance to get it. So, it's more the Fashanu, the Brock Bowers, if you want to throw that in there, Roma Dunze, as he continues to, go along in his career with the Bears. Like those guys that the Titans passed on for Latham, that's kind of what I'll be looking at. Not really Alt. Like Alt was gone and off the board.
Exactly. Lance has Alt way better. So, okay, we'll see. I don't know. I have not done the comparison.
Right now they're playing two different positions as well.
Yeah, I think Latham is going to end up being a good pick. Unnamed Texter, good point here. I said they'd win the division. It would have given them a chance to win the division with a 9-8 record. They still would have had to beat the Jags at the end. That's a good point. Thank you for clarifying that. So the last game they would have been 8-8 going into it instead of 7-9, but they still would have had to win it.
The good old days when they were 8-8, 7-9, looking for a battle for the division.
And everybody was mad about it.
Yep.
2 years ago.
2 years ago. It all came down to the Milky Pool and Josh Dobbs out there in Jacksonville. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take your best and worst things in sports on our text line. Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things, on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Well, I referenced it earlier, but let me elaborate, please. My Golden State Warriors, folks, let me tell you something. I'm not predicting it. I'm not guaranteeing anything. Someone told me, by the way, they do have dark mode jerseys. I think I remember that now. It's so stupid. Dark mode jersey. This could almost be my worst thing in sports. So, like, if you're the Raiders, awesome. If you're the Steelers, awesome. Just about everybody else, if that's not your color, you don't get to do it. But anyway, Golden State Warriors, Klay Thompson leaving, that's a painful, the three guys who are all-time champions and Hall of Famers together, the Splash Brothers, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and then of course Draymond Green, Klay, you move on from Klay and it's like, man, how's that going to work? But Buddy Hield, for anybody who remembers Buddy Hield at Oklahoma, just an absolute joy, an incredible player. And sometimes you go into NBA purgatory, with some of the franchises he's played for in this league. He is the new Splash Brother. He is the Splash Step Brother. He is a Splash Cousin, whatever you want to call it. And Hield and Steph last night teamed up to bury the Celtics along with a roster that I really like what they've done with it. Kuminga, Wiggins is back as a good player. Draymond continues to – Draymond right now is, again, early, but he's – defensive player of the year type stuff going on with him.
Hasn't been suspended yet. It's good.
Has not been suspended. Screamed at the refs a couple times last night. Didn't get a tech. Everything's looking up. So that's my best thing in sports. The NBA, is amazing in this era, in my opinion. But the Golden State Warriors being great, you know, just makes it a little bit sweeter for all of us. So
yes.
Let's hope that continues.
Haven't seen enough of that.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. But come on, I mean, it's kind of cool, right? Like a couple years ago when they came back and won it all, and now if they become a contender again this year and one more run for Steph, I mean, come on, who doesn't love Steph? Who doesn't love Steph? Also, all these people, they were all ready for like this whole, oh, yeah, Tatum's going to stick it to Steve Kerr because he didn't play him. First of all, again, go back to the Olympics and tell me who sits.
LeBron.
Because Durant, yeah, exactly. Durant, LeBron were playing at such a high level, you don't sit them. And also, they won gold. And also, sorry, Tatum, take that L. My worst in sports, I got a couple things with the College Football Playoff Committee. First of all, the whole thing, we know it has to happen, right? Like, this is TV, this is content, this is selling everything, so they're going to give us the weekly rankings, but it really is, like, we're just going to sit here every week and complain about it, and it's pretty dumb, you know? But the bigger issue for me is, you know, I like, some of the teams, especially Penn State, you know, Penn State being where they are, oh, you had a good loss to Ohio State, okay. Did you do anything? Did you beat anybody? I mean, Texas, your best wins at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's a good team this year, but like, meanwhile, BYU has wins over 13 and 19. They're undefeated, and they're number 9 behind all these teams. Like, they should absolutely be ahead of Penn State. I could make the case they could be ahead of Tennessee because of the Arkansas loss. Certainly, I could make the case. Certainly, they could be ahead of Indiana. Indiana also hasn't beaten anybody. They look great, but the committee, it continues to confuse me with, okay, does eye test matter or does achievement matter? Right now, to me, achievement should trump eye test, but that's how it goes.
Nick Kieser, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Yeah. How about Dennis Allen getting fired as my worst thing in sports? Just worse because the Saints are absolutely terrible. He's also the first coach in the Super Bowl era, guys, to be fired by two teams while having the same starting quarterback. Derek Carr also lost again. So he's also now lost to 31 teams in the NFL. So there you go. Derek Carr making history on his own this last week. My best in sports. How about Diego Pavia owning the state of Alabama in his entire career so far? He beat the Tide. He beat the Tigers. Not only that, but this is the first time Vandy has beaten the Tide and the Tigers since 1955. So that's just crazy in of itself, something that I saw. But yeah, he's also beaten Hugh Freeze 3 consecutive years. So really quick there, those are my best and worst things.
Joe, what was the vibe around here the last time Vanderbilt beat Alabama and Auburn back in 1955? How was that?
Yeah, well, you know, it was it was tough because, you know, you had to like call in your stories via, you had to do like Morse code, you know, to get the stories in. Remember I really blew deadline on the Auburn one. So,
yeah.
But it was, you know, it was, the thing is, that was only like 25 years from when Vanderbilt was a college football power. So like, yeah. You know, that would be like right now, it's like last time Tennessee won the national title. You know what I mean? Like not that long ago. So
yeah,
it was
no
exciting,
doubt.
But it wasn't as shocked as we are now.
I'm glad that you could provide that historical perspective for us here. On the program. My best thing in sports, the Detroit Lions. I'm here to tell you here today on November the 7th, Joe. The Detroit Lions are winning the Super Bowl this year. They're going to win the championship.
That will not yield.
I understand that Kansas City has won two consecutive Super Bowls. I understand that Kansas City is 8-0. And I understand now that apparently DeAndre Hopkins is going to, you know, score 2 touchdowns every game and look great in that offense. I get all that. And is anybody probably an idiot for betting against Patrick Mahomes? Yep, probably so. But I'm here to tell you, the Detroit Lions are the best team in the National Football League, and they are going to win the Super Bowl. So my message to you, my message to your family, my message to all you people who root for the Detroit Lions, I'm here to tell you, I've watched them play a lot of football so far this year. They are the best team. They are going to win the Super Bowl. The best thing in sports, the Detroit Lions.
Hey, you know what? I love a Packers fan trying to jinx them. And it will
work. I know. I'm serious.
It will work. They're not going to win it all. But go ahead.
I'm serious.
Go on then.
My worst thing.
They look pretty
good
right now.
They look pretty darn good. My worst thing in sports, Shane Beamer is an absolute dope. And you won't find a bigger Vanderbilt fan than me coming up on Saturday. I hope Vanderbilt wins by 35 points. I hope Clark Lee challenges Beamer to a wrestling match at midfield after the game. I would love to see it. You know, he gets in there in the locker room. And granted, good performance by them on Saturday. But he gets in there in the locker room, starts singing this stupid song to his wife in front of the team after the game. He's just an absolute nerd. He gets up there in the press conference the other day as they're looking ahead to Vanderbilt. He's like, well, you all in the media have determined that they're a top 25 team, and South Carolina's not a top 25 team, so we got to go on the road to the top 25. And it's like, I cannot stand Shane Beamer. I hope bad things happen to that football team on the field. I do not hope bad things happen to him as a person, because that's not right. But I do hope that Clark Lee challenges him to a fight and or a wrestling match after the game, and I will be pulling heavily for Vanderbilt on Saturday.
I feel responsible for you knowing about him singing to his wife in the locker room. I believe I sent you a TikTok, right?
Oh, I've got approximately 50 people.
I know maybe. I sent one. I sure as heck sent one.
Yeah, I mean, there has not been a person on the earth that has viewed the Shane Beamer thing more than me, with the amount of people that sent it to me the other day.
By the way, what is the song they were singing?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay. Oh, man.
Can't
stand
that guy.
Hey, I love the Beamer ball. Now, granted, I'm more of a Frank Beamer loyalist, you know, but than a Shane Beamer loyalist. But I can't be mad at Frank's son. So I don't know, man. I think you should embrace his. He's just a young hip dude, you know. He's just a cool dude who's just coaching some football, and he's coming to Nashville this weekend. I did not see the comment you're talking about, but it sounds to me like he's feeling a little bit disrespected, huh?
Yeah, he's playing the disrespect card about like whether or not he's ranked 24th, 25th, or 27th. That's the most Shane Beamer thing I think I've ever heard of.
He is, man, he's one of one, is what he is.
Just an absolute dope. Caroline Fenton will be with us coming up next. We'll get into some college football talk with her. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.